And now joining us is Jill Tidman. Jill is the executive director of the Redford Center. And as we prepare here in Park City for our final Sundance, we'll be taking a look back at some of the festival's most powerful environmental films and what the Redford Center is doing today and into the future. So Jill, thank you so much for joining me today on This Green Earth.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
We are, of course, like I said, doing a lot of nostalgia here in Park City about Sundance, how it got started. And as I look into the environmental films that I have seen over the years and the impacts that they have made, I thought it would be great to have you on the program to walk us through the seed that was planted by Robert Redford to get the Redford Center going, and then also just his very profound impact on our environment here in Utah. So I'd like to have you give us a look into what the Redford Center does, how it began, and what led you on the path to become the executive director for the Redford Center.
Well, thanks for those questions. I always love talking about the organization because it feels like a special place to me, but I'm biased. I've been here a really long time. Let's start with what the Redford Center is. So we have this saying that the environment is our mission and film is our medium. Mm-hmm. And it really sums up beautifully, first and foremost, kind of the differentiator between the Redford Center and the Sundance Institute, which a lot of people are constantly asking me about. How do we fit together? And we're sister entities, and our charitable mission is environmental progress and solutions. And so we use the storytelling through film tool to do that impact work. So all of the films that we make and produce and support and fund are films that have sort of designed in impact potential and goals. So impact means many things and different things to different films. But some examples of impact are having a project, for example, if it's a story about regenerative agriculture, which we have several of those in our portfolio, then some of the goals can be helping farmers transition their land to regenerative ag, educating the public around regenerative ag, doing work at the government level to get the government thinking about soil health differently. And every film kind of comes to their own impact vision and goals. And that's a lot of what we bring to the table. Sometimes we're supporting projects that aren't totally sure how to do impact campaign work. And so we help them think about that as early on in the project as we can. So films and filmmaker support is a lot of what we do at the Redford Center. And we look for projects that are first and foremost really great stories, because that is the Redford way. But then we're really secondarily looking for projects that we feel like are both helping make environmental progress and move the ball forward. They're really coming at it from a solutions perspective. So inside the story, there is some form of a solution, whether it's just, you know, seeing leadership in action or an example of something that worked in a community or a new innovation that's coming online, a conversation that needs to be started. Sometimes it's just bringing two movements together that don't necessarily think that they have a lot in common, but once they come together, they realize that everything is really interconnected here. We know this issue is not a standalone issue. It's incredibly integrated into our life and world and habitat. And so it becomes this bridging force. And so that's a lot of what we look for in the work that we support, and also making sure that the communities that are really most severely and regularly impacted by environmental injustice are having an opportunity to share their stories as well as what they're doing to deal with the problems, because a lot of the leadership is coming from these people and leaders and communities that are really struggling and suffering and managing through not just big climate disasters, but daily toxification and impacts on their health. So that's the films and filmmaker support area of what we do. And then because we are so focused on impact, we do a lot of work collectively in the field with other kindred organizations. We have a couple really specific narrative strategies that we're pushing forward. And one is around these narratives that can bridge our values and help bring more folks into the fold that may not see themselves as part of the quote unquote environmental movement or part of the solution. So we're really trying to help everybody feel like there is a role for them to play and remind us that it's kind of up to us to all do what we can, how we can, that feels right. And then we have a thread around nature connection and just really taking a hard look at how disconnected we have become and all the benefits all around, not just for humans, but for the planet, of that deeper reconnection and strengthening our connection to the natural world. So we do a lot of short form storytelling through that program. And we're looking at these, what we call collaborative impact campaigns. So we do impact around these narrative threads and bring multiple films in. In addition to the film sort of doing their own work, it just is a secondary way for them to plug into something. So we're doing a lot of pilot testing in that area of our work. And then our third bucket we call market growth, which is really trying to increase the demand for this type of storytelling. There's so much more out there than people know. And it's also, it's a much more hopeful set of stories than what you typically get in the mainstream news. But it's very hard to find them. So really wanting to make sure that we're shifting some of the cultural narrative around climate and environmental progress being kind of out of reach. It's not. And it's happening so many different ways and so much broader than most people think. And we're really just missing out on an opportunity to feel more encouraged about the future, but by each other and inspired by each other. So all of those pieces together kind of make up the approach that we're taking, and being one of the only organizations focused very specifically in this nexus.
Right. And this seems like such a perfect offshoot of Robert Redford's legacy that he began here with the Sundance Film Festival and his role that he played in Utah's Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. He famously was a champion for that. So this seems like it makes a lot of sense to marry the art of filmmaking with storytelling that brings us closer to our environmental issues. So when you came on board, what were you most excited about? You said that you have been there for quite some time. What were the things that ignited you the most?
Yeah. So I have been around about 20, a little more than 20 years now. And when I first was introduced to the organization, it was sort of newly forming back in 2005 with a series of mayor's conferences around climate protection that Bob Redford and the mayor, then mayor of Salt Lake City, Rocky Anderson, you may remember,
right,
who was a really an out front leader on climate mitigation and adaptation work at the time. The two of them felt it was really an important opportunity to bring other mayors like Rocky together to share, you know, best practices and learnings, but also to bring mayors who hadn't had an opportunity to think about this issue in their work, brought them all to Sundance to have some insightful conversations about it and collective action work that was sprung out of there. But when I was brought on to kind of help get the mayors there, one of the things that was really inspiring for me personally was the family's commitment to bringing new voices to the table and bringing more of the art in. And so we did a spoken word poetry contest with a group called Youth Speaks and started to invite that community of poets to do storytelling around environmental issues. And we brought the winning poets from these contests to perform and speak and engage with the mayors. And that was really, for me personally, the moment where I realized, oh, I don't have to be a green architect or in green business or even in an energy efficiency office in a local government to make a difference. I can do it through art and story. And that was when everything clicked in for me personally. And I took on this role, and Jamie Redford, Bob's son, became our board chair. And we just started slowly building forward to where we are today.
Yeah. And over the years, if people have been coming to the film festival, or obviously some that have gotten distribution, have seen some of the more profound films that brought to light issues that we are facing in our world, coming to mind, Inconvenient Truth, Chasing Ice, there was Chasing Coral, The Cove was a very profound film that was here through Sundance, The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, and Fire of Love. What you've witnessed throughout the years and your experiences of how these films have had an effect on their audiences, how that has rippled out into communities and maybe even gone into the form of actions, why do you think that storytelling plays such a great role in these actions that result from some of these films?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think at the core, what we know of storytelling, particularly through film, is that it creates these human connections for us, especially when you have more of a human-centered narrative, which the films that you named really do. And so we start to see our lives in different shapes and forms by watching this and seeing connections that maybe we wouldn't otherwise make. It also creates a lot of empathy, and in some films, you know, kind of ignites anger or some sense of guilt or some sense of inspiration, or it kind of gets us emotionally charged up. So there's the quality of the filmmaking that exists there. But at the same time, it's really about the filmmaker, in my opinion, and what they're intending and wanting the project to do and how committed they are to using it to make those types of changes you're talking about. And I would say all of the films that you named in my experience, and I am familiar with most of them, those filmmakers really, they make the work because they want to move people to do something different and to educate their audiences and raise awareness of this situation we're in. And so when there's that intention there and there's strategy around it, that's when you can really make change happen.
When you think about the Redford Center's role in working through the current landscape of distribution and filmmaking, what changes have you seen over the years that are both positive and hopeful, and perhaps some of the hurdles that are affecting environmental filmmaking?
Yeah, well, I mean, the obvious hurdle for anyone that's made an environmental film is resources. Yeah. We tend to work with a lot of independent filmmakers, well, primarily independent filmmakers, who are often just not paying themselves, putting their own money in, asking for favors from friends and family, scraping things together, working other jobs. And so part of the leadership the Redford Center has stepped into is really trying to bring more support for this work to the film community and really help both the environmental community understand that this is a really valuable tool that we have, but we have to invest in it. And then also helping the film community know that these films exist. And so the way that we show up currently in more narrative drama spaces is through some of our partnerships and collaborations. So one of those is with the Natural Resources Defense Council, started a project called Rewrite the Future. And through that effort, they're really working inside Hollywood, mm-hmm. educating studios and writers about the opportunity of climate storytelling, the necessity of climate storytelling, and making the case that audiences are ready for this kind of storytelling. So they're just one example of groups that are sort of working inside this machinery, if you will. In terms of distribution, I mean, what I talked with our filmmakers about and my teammates as well is that, you know, we try to think about getting the work to the right people, at least in the Redford Center space. You know, it's sort of how do you want this film to make a difference and who needs to see it in order for that to happen? And sometimes it's a plan that doesn't require commercial distribution, but of course would be bolstered by commercial distribution, but it ends up being a lot of really focused advocacy work, if you will, and collaborating with campaigns that are already existing and activists that are, you know, needing these kinds of storytelling tools, scheduling very specific types of screenings for influencers and decision makers. The right person sees your film and a whole lot can change. So we think about distribution a little bit differently through our work, but what we're also seeing is real innovation in the space around direct audience distribution with platforms like Eventive and Kinema, where filmmakers are having the opportunity to basically distribute their work within a system of more grassroots distributors. So that's been a really interesting emergence, in my opinion, with the industry's distribution system being so unpredictable these days.
When you look at a film, what makes a film stand out from all these applications that may come in? What is it that you look for? What makes you most excited to get out into the world? What are those pieces that define who makes it to the top?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for me personally, I'll just say maybe because I've been looking at this kind of storytelling for so long now, when I see a fresh take on one of these environmental stories, it's super exciting because sadly, there's a lot of the same types of stories. These systemic impacts are pattern behavior, and we have a lot of toxified community stories. We have a lot of environmental health stories. We have, unfortunately, climate disaster stories. So when I get a story, get to learn about a film that's got a really special take on that or a way of connecting something that we haven't quite seen yet, that's when I personally get really interested. And then, again, we screen as an organization for these impact plays. So similarly, looking for that creativity in impact and also commitment from the artist and clarity about what they want to do. We're also really looking for work where the storytellers are in very close relationship with the folks in their films, and ideally, some people on the film team are from those communities so that there's agency. The communities have agency in the storytelling. So we're very committed to finding work that does that. And anytime we can amplify a story from a group that may never otherwise get heard unless this film gets seen, there's so much healing that comes from people sharing their stories. Just the storytelling alone has so much value. And so those are a lot of the types of projects that we're looking for. But really, at the end of the day, it does have to be a great story and has to be well told and has to have, a certain kind of production value so that people stay with it and stay engaged and in their seats. So that's, the first criteria always.
In the 2026 Sundance Film Festival that we are in the midst of, what films are you really looking forward to, excited about? There are a couple like Time and Water, Nuisance Bear, The Lake that hits pretty hard here in Utah. What are you seeing this year for Sundance that really excites you?
Well, you named the ones that I'm trying to see, and also To Hold a Mountain. I'm interested in that one too. And I know it's the 20th anniversary of the premiere of An Inconvenient Truth. I'm not sure if they're doing something at the festival yet, but that did get brought to my attention, which is super exciting. I will say I'm also excited for our panel. We're hosting a panel on Thursday at The Box, so January 23rd from 2 to 3 p.m. And it's really a tribute to the Redford legacy around environmental film and a look forward. So I'll be moderating a conversation with Connor Schlosser, one of Robert Redford's grandchildren, who is also the chair of the board of the Redford Center right now. Daniel Heinerfeld, who was the founder of the Rewrite the Future project that I was just speaking of, in terms of their work inside Hollywood, and Time and Water filmmaker Sarah Dosa, who is an old friend and colleague of ours at the Redford Center, and just a really beautiful, I think, for as an environmental filmmaker, I don't know if she would label herself that, but her stories are very much about humanity's connections to the natural world. And so, very excited about that conversation, as well as the big tribute that's happening around, Bob's legacy generally in independent film. What he's done has been nothing short of heroic to support that art form, and I'm very much looking forward to that being celebrated.
Well, we are looking forward to all of those events coming through our community here to help raise up these voices, talk about the environment. We will be talking to Sarah Dosa from Time and Water coming on the show next week. So there's a lot of exciting, things happening here in our community and ways in which we can educate ourselves. And we have been very lucky to have the Sundance Film Festival in our community to learn more through these environmental films, and I look forward to following what the Redford Center is doing in the future to help lift up these voices. So, Jill, thank you for what you do and what the Redford Center does, and thank you so much for being a voice on this green earth.
Thank you so much, Claire. And just one last plug. We do often program some of the environmental films that screen at the festival in our free screening series, which is called Films That Move. You can sign up, it's free. Just go on our website, redfordcenter.org. We send out about once a month something to watch that sort of fits all that criteria I went through. So we'd love to have more people tuning in, especially if they miss stuff at the festival.
Absolutely. So redfordcenter.org is where you can go. Films That Move. Thank you so much, Jill Tidman, who is the executive director of the Redford Center. Thank you for coming on This Green Earth.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org. You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.